thanks so much, everyone, for coming. My name is Nicole Ozer. I'm the Technology and Civil Liberties Policy Director at the ACLU in San Francisco. I'm one of a handful of attorneys nationwide for the ACLU that focus entirely on privacy and free speech and new technology. And I am also one of the coordinators of our nationwide ACLU campaign for online privacy called Demand Your Rights. So I've been at the ACLU for 7 years, working on everything from NSA spying to Facebook privacy. And since this year's, one of the themes of this year's DEF CON was spy things that look like they should be in the movies, I thought it would be a perfect panel to actually do and look at Hollywood films and depictions of surveillance in Hollywood films. So this is hopefully going to be a fun panel where we can all sort of just look at the movies, think about the movies, look at some things in terms of surveillance, and look at sort of what's technologically possible, what's legal, and actually what should be right. What are the kinds of protections that we want to see and the right kind of balance between government surveillance and our individual rights? And to sort of start it off, I wanted to sort of do a couple of big picture clips that really give a very different depictions of sort of Big Brother and the role of Big Brother and its inability to make our nations and our communities safer. And you'll see that they're slightly different clips from slightly different eras, but I thought that you guys would enjoy seeing them. The first one is that a lot of people recognize as the grand dame of Big Brother movies, Brazil. So with that, we'll start it off. We stood beneath an amber moon. There's something murmured someday soon.
Hi there. I want to talk to you about ducts. Do your ducts seem old-fashioned? Out of date? Central Services' new duct designs are now available in hundreds of different colors to suit your individual taste. Hurry now, while stocks last, to your nearest Central Services showroom. Designer colors to suit your demanding taste.
Of Information, Deputy Minister Eugene Hellman.
Good evening, David.
What do you believe is behind this recent increase in terrorist bombings?
Bad sportsmanship. A ruthless minority of people seems to have forgotten certain good old-fashioned virtue. They just can't stand seeing the other fellow win. If these people had just played a game, they'd get a lot more out of life.
Nevertheless, Mr. Hellman, there are those who maintain that the Ministry of Information has become too large and unwieldy.
David, in free society, information's the name of the game. You can't win the game if you're a man short.
And the cost of it all, Deputy Minister, 7% of the gross national product.
I understand this concern on behalf of the taxpayer. People want value for money. And that's why we always insist on the principle of information retrieval charges. It's absolutely right there that those found guilty should pay for their periods of detention and for the information retrieval procedures used in their interrogation.
Do you believe that the government is winning the battle against terrorists?
Oh, yes. Armour out, my time there. We're fielding all their strokes, running a lot of them out, and pretty consistently knocking them for six. I'd say they're nearly out of the game. Have to subsidize criminals.
But Mr. Hellman, the bombing campaign is now in its 13th year.
Beginner's luck.
Everything's connected all along the line. Cause and effect, that's the beauty of it.
So when this Terry Gilliam dreamscape was released in 1985, the concept of sort of this central services and this centralized department where information was going to be gathered and connections were going to be made about people, and a huge percentage of the gross national product was going to be spent on surveillance, and that there could be these bugs in the system where mistakes would happen and people would get stopped for unknown reasons and arrested for being completely innocent, sort of seemed like a complete Orwellian fantasy. But after 9/11, with so much money going into the Department of Homeland Services, so much money going down to the states for surveillance of all kind, and the mistakes in the system that we see from the no-fly list to fingerprinting databases, this reality is a lot more of our current reality than we would like, particularly as we approach the 10th anniversary of 9/11. So that sort of just gives a little bit of a big picture of what was seen almost 25 years ago about sort of surveillance society. And then we're going to fast forward to a much more recent clip talking about how effective or ineffective government surveillance is.
You guys should be talking so loud.
No, Lisa, it's not like the government is listening to everybody's conversation.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm calling about your meat lover's pizza. I like meat, but I don't know if I'm ready to love again.
You hang up first.
Oh, you hang up first.
Okay.
She hung up on me.
But we're fugitives. We should just lay low till we get to Seattle.
Hey, everybody, I found one! The government actually found someone we're looking for! Yeah, baby, yeah!
So, yay to the Simpsons. But, you know, what this is a humorous depiction of is the reality that we've actually been litigating, along with a lot of other groups, these NSA spying cases for over 6 years now. So the reality of the government swooping up lots and lots of telecommunications traffic without a warrant and really spying on the American people, which we're trying to finally get accountability for. So the reality of so much surveillance that's happening, yet we've heard nobody that's actually been caught from this kind of warrantless wiretapping and other types of surveillance that's happened since 9/11. So those are sort of some big picture pieces that we're looking at. Two very different movies looking at these issues, but I think really illustrate a lot of what we're talking about. And I wanted to focus in this presentation on a couple specific areas that have been a real focus of the ACLU related to surveillance and individual rights. And one of those issues is location privacy. It's certainly been hot in the news this past year, and we're working on location privacy on a lot of different fronts. And a lot of Hollywood films have actually depicted issues of mobile privacy and mobile location issues. And so we wanted to pick out a few really choice points from some of these movies and then talk about some of these issues. So the first one that we're going to start with is actually an oldie but goodie, Enemy of the State. How many folks in here have actually seen Enemy of the State? Oh my goodness, great. And as a special little piece in it that I really love, I don't know how many folks remember, but Will Smith's wife, actually, her character is supposedly an ACLU attorney in the movie. So that's a little bit of trivia for folks if they didn't remember it. So, Enemy of the State.
Got vertical movement here.
Elevator. He's in an elevator.
We're losing our tracking.
Anybody got a visual?
We need to move location and get a better signal.
Are you guys there yet?
Negative.
What the fuck is going on?
Wait, they stopped.
Your problem.
I'm getting high frequency clutter here. We lost tracers 1, 2, and 6. Their signals are completely dead. Something is wrong here.
get up.
Tracers 3, 4, and 5 are on their way up.
He's getting help, boys. He's getting help.
We had an arrangement. No contact. You broke the rules.
We gotta be heading for the roof. Air One, we need to establish visual on the rooftop, northeast corner, chambers and light. Copy that.
I think the mob uses devices like this.
Excuse me, sir. Where are your elevators?
Right over there.
In your phone was a GPS sat tracker. Pulses at 24 gigahertz.
I don't know what that means.
It's like a low jack, only two generations better than what the police have.
And what does that mean?
You speak English?
Obviously not that well.
You're kind of a jerk, aren't you? It means the NSA can read the time off your fucking wristwatch.
All right, enough of this bullshit. Right now, you either shoot me or tell me what the fuck is going on.
Jones, you take the stairs.
Krug, hold the perimeter. Coming in my signal.
The National Security Agency conducts worldwide surveillance. Fax, phones, satellite communication. The only ones in the country, including the military, could possibly have anything like this.
Why are they after me?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Here they come. I thought these sat dishes would scramble their signal.
Control, this is Air One. Repeat coordinates.
105 Chambers Avenue.
You're transmitting. They still have a signal on you. Your collar, your belt, your zipper. Get rid of your clothes, all of them.
But, and then what am I supposed to do?
Nothing. You live another day, I'll be very impressed.
Two targets rooftop, north side.
Understood, two targets rooftop. Maintain visual, please.
You have something they want!
Look, I don't have anything!
Maybe you do and you don't know it. You stay away from Rachel and you stay away from me. You come near either one of us, I'm gonna kill you. Get rid of your watch.
But why'd you get me this for our anniversary?
Then keep it. Lay off the phone.
No phone or utility lines coming in. Self-contained. Unplugged from the world. Nothing for a wire bug to piggyback in on. That leaves only transmitters. It's easy enough to signal sweep for those.
Signal sweeping for transmitters. You're just a party animal.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s.
They've infected everything.
They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email, listen to your phone calls.
My wife's been saying that for years.
Every wire, every airwave. More technology you use, the easier it is for them to keep tabs on you. It's a brave new world out there. At least it better be.
So one of the better privacy-enhancing technologies shown in this clip is the potato chip bag. So we are a fan of those for transmitters and RFID. So we're going to fast forward to a much more recent movie and show that and show a clip from Bourne and also two clips from Departed, and then we'll talk all about location information.
Operation Blackfriar.
You have details.
I'm going to get my head around this and type it up. I'll see you first thing.
Is that all?
Yeah. I want rendition protocols and to put the asset on standby just in case.
People, listen up. This is a full priority situation.
Jimmy, give me Ross's profile on one.
Yes, sir.
Our target is a British national, Simon Ross, a reporter. I want all his phones, his BlackBerry, his apartment, his car, bank accounts, credit cards, travel patterns. I want to know what he's going to think before he does. Every dirty little secret he has. And most of all, we want the name and real-time location of his source. This is NSA priority level 4. Any questions? All right, let's get to it.
And then the next one, a couple quick clips from Departed.
Piece of cake. He'll operate the cameras, you ID the guys and log them.
All cell phone signals are under surveillance through the courtesy of our federal friends over there.
Patriot Act. Patriot Act. I love it, I love it, I love it.
They turned off their cell phones.
Search randomly for calls made from the area.
807 phones are live in this area.
Then narrow the area.
What you see there for service is what you're going to get.
Yeah, why the fuck did they turn their phones off?
Wait, just the one phone up.
Where?
The buyers are there.
You know, direct contact with your guys would have its advantages.
So in these clips, we see the government accessing historical location data, current location data, as well as trying to access information about all the cell phones that are in a particular location. And we see the government doing all of these things. We know that all of these things are happening. We don't exactly know how often they're happening. We do know that Sprint received over 8 million demands for location information in just a 13-month period. We know that Michigan police sought information about every cell phone near a planned labor protest. We know that other law enforcement has sought information and acquired information about cell phones in the vicinity of bank robberies. But we don't know how often this is happening. And these are one of the things that we're really trying to do and find out more about at the ACLU is how often is the government accessing and demanding location information, historical location information, prospective location information, and information about cell phones that are in a particular area. One of the interesting things in that clip was the discussion about wanting to get information about the real-time location of a reporter and their source. And just this past week, the ACLU actually filed Public Records Act requests. 34 affiliates across the nation filed Public Records Act requests to demand that local law enforcement tell us how often they are actually demanding location information and under what standard. And one of the major issues that came up was actually reporters being very concerned about how often their location information is being demanded for exactly this kind of purpose, to find out their sources, to find out information about the stories that they're covering. So this is a really real concern of people that's actually happening today. So we're doing Public Records Act requests and Federal Freedom of Information Act requests to get much more information about how often the government is doing this, because one of the major concerns we have is that the government is currently claiming that they can access a lot of this really sensitive data about who we are and where we go that is collected by our mobile phone companies without going to a judge and getting a probable cause warrant. And this is really concerning because there's so much detailed information out there. And for the government to be able to get this information without showing that they have a good reason to get it, they can be engaging in major fishing expeditions to be finding out really intimate details about our lives, our hobbies, our habits, our activities, the fact that we're at DEF CON, the fact that you may be in an ACLU activity, and using that information in ways that we might not envision or intend. One of the major things that we're working on at the ACLU is to try and update the law. One of the reasons why the government is claiming that they can get this information without a warrant is because the law is not very clear in this area. The Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which is the law that's supposed to control how the government can access data that's collected by companies, including the kinds of data that's now collected by location-based services companies and telecommunications companies, that law hasn't been updated since 1986. Before the World Wide Web existed, a year after this Terry Gilliam movie, which looks pretty darn old with those old typewriters and other things. So one of the major things that we're doing is trying to update the 1986 Electronic Communications Privacy Act. It's actually been a bill introduced to create warrant protection for location information. There's a bill that's been introduced by Senator Wyden and Representative Chaffetz that would require a warrant for location information, both prospective and retrospective, and also require that companies get an opt-in consent from consumers before collecting location information. So we're really active in Congress right now trying to make sure that there are clear protections for location information. And if the government wants to be doing things that we're seeing in these movies, getting historical location information or prospective location information or current location information, that they're going to a judge and showing why they have a good reason to get it and that there's some oversight and there's some accountability. The other reason why we don't know how often this is happening is because that 1986 law doesn't have a reporting requirement. The government never has to tell anybody how often it's actually demanding this information. And companies are not very interested in being particularly forthright about how often they're turning over information about their customers to the government or to third parties. So another thing that we're trying to do in the law is to make sure that there's reporting requirements so that there's real transparency about how often information is going to the government and for what purposes. Another thing that we're doing is working in the courts quite extensively on this issue. When we see cases where the government is trying to access location information, we've been writing amicus briefs to try and make sure that the judge requires a warrant. We've been quite successful in quite a few of these cases. And there's also a really important case going to the Supreme Court this term, which is going to be important for location information. It's called the Jones case, United States versus Maynard. And it's actually a case about GPS tracking and whether or not it's constitutional to put a GPS beeper on the bottom of a car without a warrant. The D.C. Circuit actually said that it was unconstitutional, which was a win for civil liberties. And now, of course, the Supreme Court is going to hear that case. So while that's about GPS devices on cars, the issue is about location privacy. And so it may have a real impact on the fact that a GPS device is a tracking device, but so are most of all the cell phones that we're carrying right now. Also, many, you know, have the same kinds of capabilities to track locations. So it's going to be important to watch that case, and so stay tuned on that. Another thing, how many Californians are in the room? So we got a pretty big number. So I work in California, and another issue that we're dealing with in California is that there was a really bad California Supreme Court decision this past year that said that your cell phone could be searched incident to arrest, any kind of arrest. And that case, People versus Diaz, we're actually working to pass legislation in California to reverse that and to require that there be a warrant before searching mobile phones, even if you've been arrested. Because a lot of folks, you can be arrested at a political rally, a lot of different things. So it's really concerning that just because you're arrested, they can actually download your whole life on your mobile phone, all your contacts, all your activities, all the people that you've called, all the things that you've texted. And so we're really working to try and reverse that case and make sure that there's better privacy for mobile in California and across the country. So also on the next one I wanted to turn to is also on the topic of location, but is a little bit more futuristic. So this one is Dark Knight.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Unethical. Dangerous. You've turned every cell phone in Gotham into a microphone.
And a high-frequency generator receiver.
You took my sonar concept and applied it to every phone in the city. With half the city feeding you sonar, you can image all of Gotham. This is wrong.
I've got to find this man, Lucius.
At what cost?
The database is null key encrypted. It can only be accessed by one person.
This is too much power for one person.
That's why I gave it to you. Only you can use it.
Spying on 30 million people isn't part of my job description.
This is an audio sample. If he talks within range of any phone in the city, you can triangulate his position.
I'll help you this one time. But consider this my resignation. As long as this machine is at Wayne Enterprises, I won't be.
So, Dark Knight, also on location. So does anyone know if anything related to sonar like this could ever happen? This was a challenge we said last year. Yeah? You think so?
I've seen projects working on electromagnetic radiation-based detection to work within buildings, track metal objects, track phones, computers, and they work.
So the sonar may be possible. I haven't seen it yet, so I'd be very interested to see something like this. But turning on the microphone is definitely possible. We've seen this particularly in investigations of organized crime. We've seen the microphone turned on cell phones. We've seen the microphones turned on systems like OnStar car devices. Last year, there was I don't know how many people saw the story, but a Pennsylvania school district thought it was a good idea to turn on the cameras on their students' laptops. So, you know, anytime when you got, as you all know, when you've got a camera or a microphone attached to a network, that can be controlled and taken over. So we're definitely seeing the microphone piece happening. Of course, that's been happening with a warrant. And if this were to happen that we see in this movie where a warrant wasn't obtained and they were doing, you know, this kind of warrantless wiretapping on 30 million people, it would be $300 million if there was a class action against this. So even Bruce Wayne might not be able to afford that.
Would that be illegal because he's a private citizen?
He's not lawful. Well, we'll have to think about that. We'll have to think what Bruce Wayne, where Bruce Wayne's connection might be. If he has some kind of state actor because of his, you know, relationship, because they call on him to really act for the government and to keep Gotham safe. So those are the kinds of, those are the kinds of creative lawyering we have to come up with sometimes on the fly. He's a superhero, but if he's doing evil, we might. But of course, we have the very good Morgan Freeman keeping a lookout. So if we had Morgan Freeman as oversight, we might have a better world. Location information is one of the major projects that we're working on. It's obviously been hot in the news this year. There are so many people, you'd be shocked, you know. I don't always speak to as savvy an audience, and the number of people who had no idea that their cell phones even had any access to location information when they were using it, it's like the level of knowledge amongst the general public and how cell phones work, there's a huge disparity. So when you saw that iPhone story hit this year, I think most people in the United States were realizing for the first time that if they used a cell phone, there was actually a company that collected location information, and that location information could potentially be used in ways that they didn't intend. So it really opened up an opportunity to talk more about how we can better protect this kind of sensitive information through new legislation, through potentially court cases, and through other kinds of changes. The Federal Trade Commission and the Federal Communications Commission recently had a workshop on privacy of location information. So there's a lot of movement in this area to make sure that people can actually use mobile phones but keep more protection over their location information. So that's a major issue that we're working on. The second thing is a different topic than maybe we've discussed as much, but is also an area that the ACLU is working really, really closely on, and that's DNA testing and DNA privacy. And so we're going to turn to that topic next, and we're going to turn to the first clip. Gattaca.
The only way that you'll see the inside of a spaceship is if you were cleaning it.
My father was right. It didn't matter how much I lied on my resume. My real resume was in my cells. Why should anybody invest all that money to train me when there are 1,000 other applicants with a far cleaner profile? Of course, it's illegal to discriminate. Genoism, it's called. But no one takes the law seriously. If you refuse to disclose, they can always take a sample from a door handle or a handshake, even the saliva on your application form. If in doubt, a legal drug test can just as easily become an illegal peek at your future in the company. Like many others in my situation, I moved around a lot in the next few years, getting work where I could. I must have cleaned half the toilets in the state. I belong to a new underclass, no longer determined by social status or the color of your skin.
Welcome to Gattaca, gentlemen.
No, we now have discrimination down to a science.
Who ordered this? What are we doing here?
I'm following the lead. Forgive me, sir, but that's what I do. I'm a detective. I follow leads.
What makes you think the owner of the eyelash is here?
He's an invalid, sir. Where do we look for invalids but where invalids are?
He's an invalid. He's an invalid clever enough to go unregistered all these years. Do you think he's likely to lie down for us now?
Well, what would you suggest, sir?
Move the inquiry back to the scene. Draw a 5-mile radius around Gattaca, sweep again. Random stops.
Thank you.
theater? At Gattaca?
That's what it says, doesn't it?
It doesn't say you're crippled.
I'm not crippled. I hurt my leg training, you moron.
It's probably nothing. You better not. I don't want to give you a contaminated specimen. You get my meaning? Plungers, Lamar. You open up a blood bag?
Yeah. Well, the gentlemen of law enforcement are concerned that my testing methods may have been compromised. Roman, sir.
Are you out of practice, Lamar?
Please don't leave the premises.
I said nobody leave. Am I speaking in some kind of strange foreign language?
Check the hip. Check lenses. Check dentures. I want napkins. I want cigarette butts. I want the saliva off teacup.
That's a familiar face. Check them out, will you?
So a lot's changed since Gattaca. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman met, got married, and divorced since this movie has come out. So a lot's changed, and unfortunately, when I first saw this movie, the concept that there would be sort of this national ID system and this DNA testing and sort of the ability to get all of this information about people and have these kinds of DNA checkpoints really seemed very futuristic. And as the beginning of the clip said, the not-too-distant future, and in the time that even I've worked at the ACLU, a lot more of this has become, unfortunately, possible and a reality. There's been a real rise of DNA databases just in the past, decade since 9/11, and every state now in the country is part of what's called CODIS, which is this combined DNA index system, which is run by the FBI. So every state in the country has access to this large database of DNA. And like a lot of people may think, oh, well, there must only be really hardened criminals in this database. But in California, which is where I do a lot of work, so it's something that I follow a lot, we actually had a really bad proposition a couple years ago called Prop 69, which mandated DNA collection for any arrestee that had committed a felony. And felonies can include actually being arrested at some kinds of political demonstrations. And so we have DNA of people who have been arrested, who've never been convicted, who may not even have been charged, that are going into DNA databases that are then staying there forever. And this is something that we're working very extensively on. We're actually, the ACLU of Northern California has actually filed a lawsuit against Proposition 69, and our lead plaintiff is indeed somebody who was arrested at a political rally and whose DNA was taken because she was arrested at that rally. I don't know if folks have seen in the news in recent years as well that a lot of DNA, that it's mandatory now for babies, their DNA to be taken and to be tested, and it's a lot of times for good reason, to make sure that there aren't some genetic diseases that the parents shouldn't know about. But there are several states who are actually retaining this DNA indefinitely, including Florida. So the DNA databases are growing and growing and growing, and we're trying to make sure that there are some real protections in terms of how DNA is collected, the types of information that's in there, how long it's retained, and what it's used for. There's also, we're seeing, you know, in this movie, there was the kind of thing to use DNA sort of to really group up a whole lot of people and find out if they've committed a crime. And we've seen this happen in quite a few states as well. And one of the things that was interesting in this movie where they talked about how easy it was to get DNA from, you know, a doorknob, saliva on an envelope, those were things that I thought were really futuristic at the time but have really become a reality. They can, you know, collect DNA from old glasses and from cigarettes. There was a case about somebody who had spit on the sidewalk, and could the government actually use that spit to get a DNA sample? And they actually said that if you spit on the sidewalk, you don't have a reasonable expectation in your DNA anymore, and it was fine for the government to test that sample and get DNA. The same thing, somebody was tricked into giving saliva. They were tricked by law enforcement into joining what they thought was going to be a class action and actually licking an envelope, and that was used to then get a DNA sample. There was also a case where the police were actually able to get someone's DNA off of a cigarette butt that they had smoked while they were doing a police interview. So the kinds of things that we're seeing in this movie have actually, a lot of it, become a reality. Another thing that was a really big focus of these clips was a national ID system where everyone had a national ID card. They came up in a central database. And there's been a real push in the last couple of years by the government to actually have a national ID card. For years and years, we've pushed back against a national ID card, and the federal government actually tried to do a backdoor to create a national ID card by the Real ID Act, which was mandating that all states distribute a uniform kind of state ID, which would then be combined into a central database. The Real ID Act, we had a major campaign against the Real ID Act, and we've been able to slow that down and to really stop its implementation. But we're seeing, as we often see, sort of another backdoor approach into national ID cards going through immigration issues and trying to say, look, we need to have more information about immigrants. We need to create some kind of centralized database to make sure to test people who are legal against people who are illegal, and that creates a real wedge issue that then makes it more possible to try and push for a national ID card. So we are having a lot of activities in Congress right now to push back against the kind of national ID system that we see here, because the national ID system combined with the technology that we now have for DNA testing, the kind of technology we now have for iris recognition and fingerprinting, combining really kind of creates the infrastructure to really track people in the way that we see in these kinds of movies. There was something I saw recently in the news that the FBI is really updating their fingerprint database, and they expect by 2013 to have gait recognition, tattoo recognition, and iris recognition in addition to regular fingerprint recognition. So there is billions of dollars going into this kind of surveillance infrastructure on a whole lot of different levels. We're seeing it in communication surveillance. We're seeing it in DNA surveillance. We're seeing it in many kinds of different surveillance across not just on the federal level but also on the state levels with large databases combining for these kinds of issues. I'm going to show you one more clip from Minority Report, which kind of creates a really nice big picture. But before that, I did promise snacks, and I will tell you that we bought Nerds. I'm going to throw some Nerds in the general direction of people, and if you will share them with your fellow nerdy friends here at DEF CON, they will be much appreciated. So. And I'll start the red vines on the end.
What you gonna do when they come for you? Nobody now giving no break.
Jeff, we are now in position and ready to begin thermal scan on all residences on North Powell.
I'm thinking you must really like me, don't you, Fletcher? That's why you asked to partner with me on this little sortie, isn't it?
I think you're swell company, no?
It's not that you don't trust me to be alone with the chief, is it? That you think I might, you know, fuss with him if I had the chance?
No, I just want to watch him use your body to sandblast into the building, that's all, Jeff. Havana, go.
I show 27 warm bodies.
Roger that, confirm 27 warm bodies. What do you think, 4 spiders, 1 per floor?
Let's do 8. I gotta eat.
Residents of 931 Powell, residents of 931 Powell, this is Officer Fletcher of DC Pre-Crime. Under authority of PC Section 6409, we are deploying spiders into your complex.
Scanning compressed through the system. Stay still, baby. Open your eyes. Okay. Okay. Blanket.
Thank you.
kids to know terror. Keep them away from me.
Wait a minute, Big Cat's back. What do you guys think? A drunk maybe can't wake up?
Yeah, some guy who doesn't want to get rent. Folks, please,
quiet.
Close your doors. Get back inside.
Let's see.
So I show that clip not because I think we have robotic spiders right now, but because we do have a lot of sensor networks, we do have a lot of RFID, we do have a lot of scanning software and other kinds of mechanisms that are scanning emails, that can do voice recognition. And one of the major issues that we're dealing with as civil liberties lawyers is the argument that, look, if technology does it, if a bot does it, if software does it, all they're doing is looking for the wrongdoers. They're not actually invading the privacy of the innocent people. And we experienced that argument even with the NSA cases. Judge Posner of the Seventh Circuit said, look, if it's software that's looking at all of the traffic, then they're not really looking at anything. No one's privacy is really being invaded. And once a wrongdoer is found, then there's probable cause to actually search that information. So we're seeing that sort of happen in this clip here, where they're throwing in technology. It's going in and actually really is invading the privacy of a lot of people. And actually, the person that's the wrongdoer is able to have gone to great lengths to evade that kind of technology. So if we have a situation where we have judges or we have lawmakers thinking if it's technology, it's not really invading somebody's privacy because a person hasn't actually gone into somebody's house and interrupted their conversation or a really private activity, then no harm has been done. We're going to be in a really bad situation. And so I show that clip because it really is an issue that as civil liberties lawyers, we're really, really concerned about. And we need technology is able to do so much. And yes, it is able to stand in for a lot of human interaction. But just because it's technology doesn't mean it's not invasive. It doesn't mean that there isn't a harm just because a person hasn't actually interacted with you. So this is an issue that we're dealing with NSA spying. This is an issue that we're dealing with GPS technology. This is an issue that we're dealing with sort of across a lot of different surveillance issues. And so that's why I wanted to show this clip, because if we adopt that approach, if we really continue down that road, we're going to have situations like we see in this film, where really private activities are invaded through technology and there really is harm to individuals. So I did get a little bit of a warning time. So before we end, I did say that the best jaunty tinfoil hat would get a T-shirt. So any jaunty tinfoil hat wearers, please come up here and we will have a clapping contest to see which is the winner of the jaunty tinfoil hat contest. And I'll also, I guess I have to take questions afterwards. All right. It's up to the group. All right, so with clapping, number one. All right, two. Three. Oh. Four. Five. Six. Well, I think it may go to our Dot Rights prints here. Who gets a Dot Rights t-shirt? And For anyone else that would like a Dot Rights t-shirt, if you join the ACLU with a donation of $20 or more, either tonight or at our table in the vendor area, you will also get a t-shirt. And for those of you who'd like to follow the work that we're doing on online privacy and free speech, we're doing work all across the country on this. You can follow us at Dot Rights or at dotrights.org. And I want to thank you guys so much for coming, and I will be in the question and answer area for questions afterwards.